The gang is gonna freak when they see all the great stuff I got him this year. I knew marrying that rich Terra person was a good idea. Even if she insists on biting little chunks out of me from time to time, but that's neither here nor there. It's Christmas, and Christmas is a time for... What is that? Where's that coming from? Mike! Jackie! Ryan! Oh my God! Are you guys okay?
Dave! You gotta untie us! Quick!
Yeah, she could be back any second!
Hurry, Dave! Hurry! She's crazy!
What the hell's going on here?
I'll tell you what's going on.
Is that Madeline? From the Malignant episode, Madeline? Tumor freak Madeline?
That's right, Dave. I've broken free of my host Eric's head and am now spreading the tradition of the holidays throughout all dimensions. A new holiday tradition. A better holiday tradition. Now, if you'll each kindly put on your red mink-covered shackles, we'll begin with the ABC family presentation of...
Wait. Is this, like, a sex thing?
No, you sick pervert! Everyone always thinks that at first, wrongly. But I assure you and your listeners that this will be a nice, heartwarming Christmas tale that's fun for the whole family. Now, Chad, please load up the film. But before we get started, you got here at the perfect time, Dave. Cocktails, as I promised to your employees, are to be served at 6 sharp. And we're going to kick off this evening, as is tradition, with a reading of the classic story, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas.
Oh, man. Can't we watch Muppet Christmas Carol instead?
Quiet, you chowderhead!
In the not-too-distant future of the neo-post-apocalypse, a group of movie fans, led by their charismatic but oafish leader Dave, brings the lost art of cinema back to the wasteland.
Welcome to Apocalypse Video.
So we actually have a guest review of Holiday in Handcuffs here.
All right.
Welcome, audience, Lizette.
You got to say it. All right. Lizette, what was your opinion about Holiday in Handcuffs that you wanted to share?
The part where Dave falls on his butt.
She's referring to Mario Lopez when he falls on the ice. That is her favorite part.
That's a really good
like
part.
Right in the beginning when she's getting taken to the car by the gun.
Yes, that is the part. Is there anything else you wanted to say, Lizette? All right. That's
classic.
It. That's our guest reviewer. Thank you.
That was my favorite part, too. Well, actually, my favorite part was when Melissa Joan Hart falls on her butt. But anyway, we'll get to that.
A couple people fall on their butts.
A lot of people falling on butts. Well, I'll put that in at some point later in the episode.
Perfect.
Is there more to the episode? That's it.
No, we're good. We're bye.
Now available on DVD. All Trudy wants is to be the perfect daughter.
I have nothing to offer. No husband, no grandchildren.
So this Christmas, she's bringing home the perfect boyfriend, even if it is a felony.
I'm not her boyfriend. She poked a musket in my ribs, tied me up with furry handcuffs, and drove me to wherever I am right now.
Furry handcuffs. Now I'm embarrassed.
She's holding him hostage. But he's stealing her heart.
Oh, I just needed the,
Melissa Joan Hart. Mario Lopez.
I hope you're not expecting much from Santa. A federal offense probably puts you on the naughty list this year.
The ABC Family original movie, Holiday in Handcuffs. Now available on DVD. Lock one up today.
You know, it's great when a movie starts off with the lines, I'm not crazy. I'm your host, Dave. We're here for another demented hostage situation of Christmas. I'm joined by my fellow employees, Jackie.
I worked my way through college mowing lawns for the city.
Michael.
Early for who, sugar britches? I have to spend an entire day with you yahoos. Mama's gonna need a little help.
We're also joined by Ryan.
You know, Dave, I usually pump gas for the pretty ladies. You don't want to deny a man one of his few pleasures he has left.
And finally, our captor, who I think may be suffering from chronic bitch-itis, Madeline.
Wow.
Dave, she has a pirate gun. Wow. There's not going to be any trouble in my store, super freak. So back that ass up nice and slow.
You know, I'm not even sure that pirate gun of yours works, Madeline. I'm not even sure if you're a credible threat here.
Let's find out.
Oh, Jesus.
I swear that old guy at the truck stop, he pronounces it like as, like the song Back That As Up. Like he's
putting like stank
he's
on
freak.
It.
Freak.
The line you know, reads in this are 10 out of 10. Every single
absolutely.
Line.
You know, Madeline, you started up top saying this movie wasn't a sex thing, yet there are several characters that are either talking about sex acts or partaking in sex acts.
Now, hold on. I said the handcuffs weren't for sex. I didn't say anything about the sex in the show. Which
she was
is
speaking
great.
For herself, okay?
Yes, that's yes.
Got a little woman at home loves to have everything lathered up in oil. Not that I'm complaining. That's the best thing about the holidays. No guilt. Right, son?
I think we can all agree. We can all agree this was a very sexy movie.
Well, yeah. What else can you expect from ABC Family? That horned up channel.
Dude. Okay, Ken, that's the first thing we need to talk about. This is an ABC Family movie. It premiered in December on 2007. And I was shocked.
During the 25 Days of Christmas, Dave, please.
The 25 Days of Christmas promotion, the programming slot there. And I got to say, I'm not a regular ABC Family viewer, but I was shocked by how horny this is.
Dave.
It's Freeform.
Freeform
now. You know? Oh, sorry.
But you watch it on Tubi.
I was shocked by how horny this movie was for a supposed family film.
Yeah. You know, a PG-13 used to get you a lot farther back
in
the
day. Is this PG-13?
It's not anything. It's probably like TV Y7 or something. it's not a theatrically released movie.
That's
it doesn't
true.
Have like a G through R rating.
The only reason they didn't have one non-sexual fuck is because it was going to air on television. So,
well, Madeline,
I bet this was TV Y7 or TV 14.
TV 14.
Well, Madeline, you're kind of the keeper of the tome. What's your story with Holiday in Handcuffs? What's your origin story?
Here's the story. There are.
How did you get here? We're probably wondering how Madeline got here.
I mean. Yes.
It all starts with
all
one crazy act.
My hair's crazy. Pretend my
hair is so wacky. I live in a tiny little dump.
I have
curtains. Who perms their hair anymore, Madeline?
I open all of my curtains up. I have 5,000 curtains.
Did Madeline's
you
know, alarm's
going off. You might not
have
noticed the curtains. That's like a number 3 watch when you see all the curtains.
I did notice that she seems to like have a giant. So her apartment is like massive, and it doesn't seem to have walls. It seems to have curtains, like dividing
curtains,
up the room.
A lot of natural light. Well, it's a crappy loft.
Well, it's kind of funny. She does have a lot of mid-century furniture, though. Did you see that? Mm-hmm. It was like, they're all
her
covered
apartment.
With, like, stuff.
Her apartment's so nice and big. It's bigger than my house.
It's because
it's huge.
She's from money. Obviously, we see the rest of the family.
Yeah, that's one of the, like, well, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
We're getting so ahead of ourselves, I'm sorry.
Give me that gun, Madeline. Okay, we're getting ahead of ourselves. We were talking about an origin story here.
Okay, so the origin story of Holiday in Handcuffs. There are approximately 10,000, probably more, Christmas shitty movies that exist in this world. Yeah. And I realize that this is after they used to exist. You know, you have to pillage to find them these days.
To hear the real story of Christmas.
Exactly. Exactly. But none holds the magic of this film. Many of them are crappy in a way that I would like to turn the television off and never have to revisit it again. You know, you give up about halfway through. There's something magical here. There are actors who have never been employed before, but are just absolutely just giving line reads that Marlon Brando himself couldn't come
up with. We have a code red up here.
Yep. And I don't know what happened. This film feels like it's from another dimension, because if you try and watch ABC Family Christmas movies, you can watch as many as you want, none of them are going to come close to what we get here in this pile of, I don't know what it is. I don't know.
How did you
had said in your Letterboxd review that this seems like a movie written by an alien.
Correct.
Yes, because there's really only, you know, a passing knowledge of how humans and families interact.
Right.
And it seems like the alien was kind of learning on the fly. And then at the very end, you know, was like, I heard about this thing called therapy. I guess it like completely saves every situation. I mean,
was 2009, is that what it was?
2007.
That's what it was in 2007.
Yeah. Ahead of its time.
And that's, and I think that's very brave of this alien to really put their all into this story.
Madeline, if I may, how did you like find, what's your history with this movie? How did you find it? What was your reaction like when you first saw it?
Was this like a channel surfing?
Did you see this during the 25 days of Christmas in 2007?
Yeah, absolutely. It would have been around 2007. It would have definitely been just on normal TV that I saw it. And it was very much like, this is going to be shit. Let's watch this. Ha ha. I'll probably turn it off. But no.
But then lives were changed.
Magic.
It's got Clarissa in it. Has Sabrina.
Mario. Mario's not bad to look at. Like,
hey, you know? You can do a lot worse.
What's his name on Saved by the Bell?
Slater.
Slater.
That's what it was.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I couldn't remember the name. It was bugging me the whole movie.
I know. I was thinking, is it
it's not Screech.
It's not Screech.
Yeah.
It's not Zach.
Not Zach. It's the other one.
I'm curious. Do you recall? Two questions. Did you start watching it from the beginning on this first viewing? And do you remember when the movie hooked you? What point of the movie hooked you the first time?
I believe I watched it all the way through the first time, I want to say. I'm really having trouble like remembering. I feel like it was probably at my mom's house in like the leather chairs. So I'm like trying to like put myself back
there.
This
is like asking someone, do you remember the first time you saw Star Wars?
It is. That is what you're asking me, basically. Except this is better, obviously. I think.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And more culturally important.
Of course.
I had more fun watching this than at least two Star Wars.
Yeah, easily.
There you have it. When was I hooked? The perm moment is great.
That's right at the beginning.
I really did. It kind of hooks you in right from the beginning. I love any conversation between Trudy and her mom, where her mom is like just so unhinged and just like, come to that 6 o'clock sharp, like constantly. It's magic. But you know what? The moment that you know you need to stay is when you meet the gas station attendant. There's no going back from that
freak,
that absolute hero.
Mister, you have to help me. I've been kidnapped.
Let me guess, by a sexy lady in a pink dress.
Yes, you remember.
And she tied you up and blindfolded you.
Yes, that's right.
And she spanks you and does naughty things. Oh.
What are you doing? Oh, that's disgusting.
And I think that might be the moment that solidified for me that every character in this movie is a psycho.
Yeah,
yes, correct.
I mean,
it kind of has to be for this movie to work.
Yeah. The fact that if Mario Lopez didn't like he takes a turn in the movie where he's like, if you're going to bodily kidnap me, I will psychologically terrorize you and your family, which is great. And if he didn't make that choice, this would be, you know, a tragedy if the whole time he was just like, please, please, someone help me, please.
Well, that's the question. So the big thing about this movie, so the plot of Holiday in Handcuffs, well, I guess I should hand it over to you, Madeline. What's this movie about?
What is this film about? Well,
what is this crazy conceit?
Well, we meet our friend Trudy. She is living in a crappy loft, but I think we can all attest that that's
a giant crappy loft.
It's a movie. The movie is telling us that it is a crappy loft, correct. But our eyes and ears are seeing this is like a $5,000 a month in 2007
it
loft.
It looks like a place that would be like in like a real like faded music video, like a very sexy kind of music
video. Oh, like a Goo Goo Dolls music video, maybe?
Yeah, or something, yeah.
It reminded me also very much of and this would have been around the same time, but of the movie adaptation of Rent. Where they're in
reference,
massive,
yeah.
You know, like warehouse loft, and the whole plot is like,
we're just poor. Yeah.
We've got AIDS.
I'm a poor man living in a gigantic loft in Manhattan.
To be fair, they're not paying rent on it. That's kind of the whole point. But yeah, it's very much you're like, well, you are telling me this is crappy, and yet my
eyeballs. Like the whole. I mean, we were mentioning this earlier, but this is like a thing with the movie that like right away is weird. Because we're meant to believe that this is like she's a loser and she's like really into like, oh, you're from money, you're rich, but we can see she's clearly rich and her family is rich and she's getting this big job interview because her dad got her the job interview.
She's a nepo baby.
Like she it's so weird that
she's just a waitress.
This reads to me like whoever rich LA person writing this movie does not know anything other than rich people.
This is movie poor.
Yeah. It's movie poor. Yeah, that's wow, that's a good term, Dave.
Absolutely.
Well, continue, Madeline. So we're in this giant crappy apartment.
Yes. And Trudy is, you know, down on her luck. She's been working the same crappy job for years. Her family is judging her because they feel like she should be at a different point in her life. But she does have some solace, which is that finally this Christmas, when she has to go back and see all of her family together in a cabin, she is going to have a boyfriend to bring, which she hasn't had before. So
finally a man.
Finally! A man.
Now she's worth something.
Exactly.
Her family was starting to think she's a lesbian.
Yeah,
which is the worst thing you can be.
Proves that she likes the Audis and not the innies.
Being
Jesus, Ryan. Why would you say that?
That's quoting her father.
That line was bleeped, Ryan. You had to bring it out.
We don't even get through this, but we had like the first time we watched it, where it was just like more and more things. At first, you're like, "What the fuck is this?" And then it just things keep happening, like those lines in the gas station attendant, you know, that just keeps like.
Oh, actually, I got these nice baked handcuffs for your sex acts.
Sorry, but it's amazing.
It is.
Well, we're basically to the crux of the movie, though, is that she goes to meet this boyfriend that she has at a restaurant. He basically is a piece of shit, and he's like, I'm not coming to Christmas. And so she loses her mind. Literally, she goes insane, and she decides that she is going to kidnap the attractive man who has come into the diner.
Just random handsome
man. Mario. I mean,
Mario.
We understand why she does it. And then, you know, she holds a gun to him, literally puts handcuffs on him. I'm saying literally a lot. And then, you know, they go to the cabin and we are in this situation where she has to convince her family that this is her real boyfriend and he has to find a way out, or does he?
He forgot to mention she holds him hostage with a pirate gun.
Yes, with a pirate, a gun that's been in her boss's family for years.
Suggested pairings for this movie would be, I think, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, which is similarly about like a sane guy trying to like break out of an insane situation. situation, mm-hmm. or Get Out. I would Get Out. Two movies I think that would pair well with this.
Yeah.
Oh, the guns from it's the Indian Revolution against mm-hmm. the British.
Yeah, basically. That's right.
Well, because they have, I feel like a guy talking in probably not his real voice.
That may or may not be his human accent.
Yeah, playing this like this cafe. Everything in this movie is so weird. Like, what is this diner? Because it's like. Is it like an all-American diner or is it like an Indian restaurant?
But they have a whole hot dog special.
Well, it reminds me of that restaurant from Seinfeld, like season 2 or whatever, where Jerry convinces the guy like you should open like or the guy has like a multi it's like every type of culture food in his restaurant or something.
Well, it's just American diner that the Indian guy runs, you know.
You know?
Give me a cheeseburger and Caesar salad.
I like
the amount of like just the Indian guy. Like again, I don't think that is his real accent. They're having him talking, and then like he's like surrounded by like every time he's on screen, there's just plastered like Indian memorabilia basically behind him.
But also this cafe like or diner like feels like Love is Holidays. Like all the waitresses are in their little.
He's dressed up like Santa
headgear. He's dressed as Santa. Flash forward to the end of the movie, but they've got like Valentine's Day shit everywhere. And like I guess this diner was all in on holidays, baby. Every holiday.
Well, that's how the viewer can tell what time of year it is.
Exactly.
I think this speaks to the like, was this written by aliens who like don't quite understand human, like, oh, they celebrate the holidays, so when it's the holidays everything will look like, you know, mm-hmm. Christmas trees everywhere or Valentine's Day everywhere. So she steals the gun from him. And this is when we get to what some people say is the highlight of the film, right? When they're like escaping.
Yes,
and
many have said this.
And she's like holding a gun to Mario Lopez, and Mario Lopez like slips and falls on the ice and knocks himself out.
He tries to make a go to escape this crazy lady, but there's ice and he does fall, and it's pretty spectacular.
I would say it.
He falls right on his. But
if there's going to be one, like, maybe unbelievable plot point of this movie.
One unbelievable
there
plot
are,
point.
There are exactly 57.
Well, one is Mario, the thing is supposed to be, is kind of like a vice president of a big company. Mm-hmm. And is going
like
to propose.
He's rich, not like her.
Yeah. Also a rich girlfriend. And, like, at this Indian-American diner, which is, like, a very strange choice.
He was gonna do the proposal there, like
it looked like it, or at least they were maybe that night. I don't know. What do you think? Maybe.
This place is famous. What are you talking about?
I have trouble.
He was there looking at the ring.
That woman has ever been into a diner before.
Yeah.
So
she
for
sees.
Her to take her, that's insane. You ever notice this? Trudy comes into the job. Talks on the phone, works for 2 minutes, and then leaves the restaurant.
I know she says
that's
that
what jobs are like.
She says that her Nick's gonna pick her up at 2:00. It's like, when did she get there? Did she get there at like?
And then here's another good one. Here's another good one. Her mom is pressuring her to get there because she is going to be late. She arrives, no one is there at the cabin except her mother and father.
Can we also just mention that this is like 2007 and the main character's name, who's a youngish woman, is Gertrude?
Yeah, when would she have been born in like...
Who? Do you, anyone know like a Gertrude?
I have a lot of theories about this movie. One of them is it was written by a super, super boomer. The kind of boomer that says things like, Jake, you didn't do her justice.
So
I
did look up...
haven't said in many years.
I looked up who wrote it, and I don't think it is like a super boomer, but they did... They really don't have a lot of credits. And what I did see they wrote,
Marvin
besides
the
this, was A Doggone Christmas, We Can Be Heroes, which is a 2020 kids movie, and a 2021 movie. I am, maybe this is boomer coded. I'm afraid to look into what this movie is, but it's called Christmas Is Canceled.
Did you see this, Dave, that it's directed by
Ron Underwood.
Who's that, director of Tremors.
This is
Tremors, City Slickers, and The Adventures of Pluto Nash.
And that killed it. Killed his
that
movie
killed it
career.
For him. After that, he got sent down to ABC Family to do this
and
stuff.
And then his career was saved by Holly Handcuffs.
This guy had like a start of a Joe Dante career or something, mm-hmm. you know, and then boom, down to the minor leagues right away.
Not like Joe Dante.
Was a big hit, you know, like it was he had a bunch of stuff that was pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
yeah, and he did great work as we saw in Holiday and Handcuffs.
Yeah, pretty interesting.
Well. We get to the second point of the movie as we're watching where I'm just like, I'm thinking like this conceit is crazy. Just like, okay, so the whole thing is he's getting kidnapped by this woman who wants him to pretend to be her boyfriend. At what point are you just go crazy? Like, I am not her, like she kidnapped me, blah, blah, blah. You're a relentless at this point, but she's one step ahead of him because she leaves him in the car first, walks into the house and tells her parents.
You know when we go to a restaurant and Dad tells jokes to the waitresses and they're stupid and embarrassing, but he thinks it's funny?
Mm-hmm.
Well, sometimes when Nick feels awkward in a social situation, he does this whole, I didn't want to be here, I've been kidnapped thing. Kind of weird, but he thinks it's funny, so just laugh along so it doesn't make him feel bad, okay? Okay.
It's so funny, too, that, like, not only do they immediately believe when he comes and he's like, of course, like, I'm kidnapped, like, they immediately believe he's just doing a bit. They think it is the funniest thing they've ever heard.
Which, yeah. At this point, it's like, no, this is not a bit. I have been kidnapped by your daughter.
Yeah, this is concerning. This is weird.
And they're just like, I get it. Take my wife. Ah!
This so quickly. Like, he doesn't really try, in my opinion.
Well, there's a reason for this, David. And the reason is that he's already in love with Trudy Kim. And so he's not.
When do you think he falls in love? When do you think it happens? Is it the brain damage?
When he sees her beautiful perm. Yes. Like,
once he sees the perm.
Well, but not only this, he wants to be rescued from his terrible life that he's in
right
now.
He's in handcuffs.
He's already in handcuffs.
Like, oh, wow.
Wow, Ryan.
We see the you know, girlfriend, yeah. almost fiance, and she, in a movie written by aliens, she and her rich mother are especially alien. And like,
I actually, like, I justice for the girlfriend here, or the fiance, she, like, she's the reason this guy is saved. Like, she directly leads to
saved.
Mario Lopez being
back
saved.
She puts him in the handcuffs, Mike.
She eventually goes to save him. She takes her sweet time to start the journey.
She also, when she enters the diner after he's been kidnapped, as Madeline said, this woman has never been in anything close to a diner. She's like, excuse me, the help? Where's my boyfriend? He's very handsome. Ugh.
There's a lot of, like, we kind of skimmed over. There's a lot of funny lines and moments and leading up to this, I feel like.
Yeah, this is a gem of a film.
I, one of the notes I have is that Trudy's car looks like something the Muppets would drive. Like, it
yes!
seems like it. Like, I'm like, why? I'm like, what's the choice there? Where it's like having her drive this like beater when, like, why not make it like? Is this 2000s? It could be like an old Honda or something, like a crappy.
Because
like,
it doesn't read as funny, Ryan.
I guess so, yeah.
It's like Columbo's car.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, baby pink and.
Well, everything she has is pink.
Yeah, that's true.
She's a girl.
Well, but her mom.
No, it's because
this is
her
how
mom
human girls.
Her all this pink shit for Christmas. She doesn't want it.
Her mom bought her that shitty car.
Well, her mom's only buying her sweaters. She does. Is
like,
her mom buying
she's
her everything?
One of those hairy lady man hater types.
Yeah.
Hairy lady man hater.
Which I'm just like. Let's go, you know? It's like
what, my kind of woman.
This is my kind of woman here. You
yeah,
know?
There's, there's like that and her line earlier of like, Dad's starting to think I'm a lesbian. It's like, oh my God, the worst thing someone could think about you.
Yeah, basically like, so before Mario Lopez is able to get a phone and call his soon-to-be fiance, tell him where he is, he's been kidnapped. Before this, we basically find out that this family is very dysfunctional. Mm-hmm. Everyone's got a little thing going on. The parents aren't happy. Apparently, they only have annual sex. And when they do, the mother has to think about Clint Eastwood.
Oh.
Look, I mean, they all loved him, you know.
No, she's thinking about him talking to the chair at the Republican convention.
My milkshake brings the girls to the yard.
She's gonna love when that happens.
There's like a lot of like, it's sort of like the first thing of this, like, people not having sex, I think, which is a weird thing in this movie. It seems like it's dropped a lot, but it's Trudy's real boyfriend, yeah, says like, we haven't had sex yet, you know, kind of.
Yeah,
thing.
And they've been dating for like 6 months or something.
No. They had sex.
The line is that hadn't had sex.
Oh,
yet.
Right. The whole thing is like, he's saying like, I only said I'd go meet you for Christmas so you'd have sex with me.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
makes it even worse.
Okay.
Well, but you know,
it's an ABC Family movie, Ryan.
You know how adult humans act.
It's a cable show. You know, it's not a ABC Family was just like ABC movie channel. Like when the family thing is because it derived from the Family Channel, and then they eventually dropped it. Now it's a Freeform. You know, so I think like they play like PG-13 movies on there and stuff. It's just I always, as a kid.
You know, as a kid, I never wanted to watch ABC Family because I thought it was like, that's for kids. It's like, vaguely Christian.
I always knew ABC Family as the channel that pretty much exclusively played nothing but Harry Potter.
Eventually, it became the Harry Potter
channel. Yeah.
Interesting.
And I think, it's really, I mean, it would play just regular movies, but it'd probably stick around.
I didn't think sex existed on the ABC Family channel.
I think they play.
Clearly you never watched Seventh Heaven over and over.
I did not.
Well, there was a horny show.
There was sex, there was drugs.
Like the two Mary-Kate and Ashley shows, they would play those a lot. What were those called?
I don't know. You tell me.
I know what you're referring to, but I don't remember the.
There were Mary-Kate and Ashley sitcoms.
It takes two, I think. No, is that
it
the
takes
movie?
Two.
That's the movie.
Oh no, no, no!
But it does take two.
So little time. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, that's a great show. Forgot what it was.
Well, back to the movie.
Mary-Kate and Ashley should have made an appearance.
Yes, 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 yes.
I'm sure next year that we will have a Mary-Kate and Ashley-themed Christmas special, probably. I don't friggin' know.
Oh, good idea. Bam. They had that movie, Grandmother's House We Go, whatever. That's the Christmas movie.
Okay, real talk. That movie is incredible. I highly recommend it.
I have a question. Yeah, okay. I have a question about this movie.
Two of a Kind was the other one, Matt.
Two of a Kind.
Look what you've done, Ryan.
I have a question about Holiday and Handcuffs.
Yes.
So the grandma, my favorite character.
Oh yeah, the MVP.
She says this twice. There's one time where they're like, he's making the call. Like, so Mario Lopez is free. He has a cell phone finally, and he's like calling, drastically trying to get his fiance to come save him. He's in the bathroom, and there's like the women like waiting to get like trying to like, hey, they basically think he's taking a long time in the bathroom, and the grandma just exclaims, I was on Broadway once. Was that in the script, or was that the actor just saying that
exasperatingly?
That is, I think, the actor, because if you see on our screens here, I pulled up, this is June Lockhart we're talking about playing, and she is an actress that was in damn movie. She's the mom and also in Lassie and Lost in Space. This is like
okay.
Yeah, so she is looking straight at the director saying, I was on Broadway.
She's in the Meet Me in St. Louis. She's in that movie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the
thing. I knew Judy Garland. I did a line with her.
Yeah, so she that
I've
is,
done lines with
that
her.
That one's for the Greatest Generation that are watching the movie, you know. That's for the they're like, "Oh, I remember her. She was the mom on Lost in Space, you know."
I do love
Do you think Ron Underwood's thinking like, maybe we could work her alcoholism into the character?
Don't put the drink down, honey. We're gonna work with it.
She died when she was 100 years old, October 23rd, 2025.
Yeah, just recently. Wow.
Why did you tell me that? I'm so sad now.
I mean,
she was 100.
She's living forever, baby, in our hearts.
A beautiful, right. A full life.
She
lived as long as Dick Van Dyke.
Damn. I know. I love that the grandmother has so much disdain for this family. She shows up in like, she's got like the hat and sunglasses, and she's just like, oh, where's my bitch daughter? and your stupid family.
It's funny too, like she
hey,
did
who's
have
a hottie.
She had a long career and is in like a bunch of stuff. This was basically her, this ended it. This was the last thing she
was
in.
The last thing she worked on?
She is technically credited in 2021 for Lost in Space, but it, I think that's just like using her voice. Yeah.
Well, once you reach the pinnacle of filmmaking, you don't need to keep going. You've done it. You can enjoy the rest of your life.
Here's her.
I was on Broadway and I starred with Lassie.
She is her and Lassie right here. You know,
looking good with Lassie.
Yeah.
You know, if I were grandma, I'd also have disdain for this weird family.
Is she everyone else's favorite character?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
I want to have a drink with her. I want to steal a car with her and go get a steak and a cognac.
Yeah,
okay,
she wants to get a steak and a cognac after drunk.
Maybe jumping in. Well, I want to get to the end. So let's get through the second act here. So basically, she takes him home. She posits that he's into this weird thing where he pretends that he's kidnapped if he's nervous in a situation. So they all like dismiss his cries for help. And apparently, no cell phones. This is family time. Get the cell phones. And this year, luckily, Trudy is the one, the gatekeeper, the locksmith, whatever.
I think this is more believable in 2007 before smartphones. Like the idea of like putting your phone away, I think is more palatable back then when we were less dependent.
At that time, what else are you going to do other than text? You know,
it's not
like, right. And you probably like, let's be honest, like back then, no one had service in this cabin anyway.
Well, the phone thing is one thing, but their whole like, I'm the key master this year. It's like,
that is really
let's
weird.
Take everybody's car keys and no one can escape and no one can leave. It's like alien family. Family of aliens.
They're writing this and they're just like covering their tracks for these.
The
like,
key master.
That, Brian, that is exactly what it is. And I think this movie did an incredible job of the writer sitting around and being like, well, what about this? Like, what about this? And then they're like, oh, okay, we can fix that. But what about this?
Yeah,
and they do
this
it.
This is a title first movie. You know, they cut the title first. And then
exactly.
It's just like, this is what happens, and then this happens, and then it's like, oh, well, what about the keys?
Well, why wouldn't he just
steal some of that? Oh, well, someone will be the key master. And that feels like that's what you do at a swinger party, don't you? Everyone throws their keys in like a bowl or something.
I don't know, Ryan. You tell me.
I don't know. We've never been to a swinger party, Ryan.
I mean,
you're the expert.
If this movie wasn't on ABC Family, like, he would literally bash the window open of the car to try to get out. You know what I mean? If this were more realistic.
He can't because he's handcuffed.
No, he would have. There's a point later after he's introduced to the parents where he leaves the house. He's like, I'm just going to run and get out of here. He finds that it's a secluded cabin. He's like, oh, crap, I'm in the middle of nowhere. Then he goes to the car. I don't remember if it's locked or what, but like in that situation, realistically, and I know this is an ABC Family movie. This is not for realism, but he would bash the window of that car. He would make a scene to be like, I have been kidnapped. You know?
He also, when he got a phone, he probably would have called 911 instead of his fiance.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of just hoping that his shitty fiance will help him out.
That's the conceit of the movie, though, is he's already fallen in love at this
That's
point.
That's true.
He's clearly in handcuffs already.
Madeline, are you saying like even though he's saying no, he means yes?
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I've never thought of that before.
I was kind of trying to think like, because I think it's some loops they're jumping through to get Mario and her to this house, you know? And I was trying to think like, I'm not saying the change. It's perfect script, perfect log type.
Obviously, like, we make no changes.
I was just trying to think, like, what would maybe be a little bit smoother for her to, like, I'm going to trick this guy into coming home with me and being my boyfriend. That felt
I feel like
less,
it would make
like,
more
crazy.
Sense if she had something on him or over him. Like, if you don't come with me, I'll do this. You
but
know
that's
what I mean?
Too sinister.
If we got
to
keep
be
it
a
light.
More firm reason for him to go along with this.
I think the little gun is perfect because it's not too much danger. It's
did
a
she load this musket?
A little bit of danger.
How did she like put the pellet in the gunpowder in this musket?
It's
and,
already,
like,
it's ready.
With, like, the little thing, what you can tell.
Yeah, she had to get the, like, the stick and the puff ball and the gunpowder.
I want an alternate version of this where the gun does accidentally discharge and he's like bleeding out.
She has to tie off his thigh and hope that she didn't hit like an artery.
I was just
driving, still driving to the Christmas, you know, dinner, whatever. Like, stay with me, Mario.
Like, I don't know. I guess I was just trying to think, like, could he have just been like a. Like, know her at the diner. I don't know, something. It just like
some
like,
blackmail is a that's a good idea. If she had some blackmail over him, where it's like, hey, it's, remember what I know about you, so you better go along with it.
Or yeah, if like he's a regular at the diner, and maybe they have a back and forth, and he
maybe like, she like catches him doing like. It, like catches him like embezzling money from his job or something.
We are about to head into a global financial crisis.
And then he had the heartwarming thing where he's like, well, I was going to use that money for the rec center. It's getting closed down. You know, something like that. Well,
I was going to use that to buy all the candles for your art.
I bought you
1,000 candles.
Like, she's going to this interview. Like, there's a way maybe you can connect that, like the boss, him and the boss. Like, there's almost like too many little things. Like, it's
there's
like over.
Certainly too many.
Where I'm like, it almost feels like there's a connection somewhere they could have put that in there. But this is not me. I want to change it. It's a perfect movie.
No.
It's Star Wars.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Another way. If when she is first kidnapping him and he slips on the ice and falls on his butt, which is the pinnacle of the film. If he gets amnesia at that point.
That's a good idea. That's a really good idea.
He's just like, where am I? What's going on? She's like, you're my boyfriend, silly. And then he starts getting his memory back.
I think you've done it. That's it. Yeah.
That would be it.
He's like, I guess this is normal. And then, like, I don't know, he starts being like, wait a second.
Just to realize what's going on.
But then how do you work the handcuffs in there?
We can still have freaky deaky sex.
Once he finds out, then she has to handcuff him.
Okay.
Yeah, she goes for the handcuffs. He's just like,
he can find out pretty quick.
Maybe no. What it is? She still handcuffs him, but he's like out. You know, he comes to, and then he's like, that's when she realizes that he's been amnesiaed, so she doesn't need to handcuff him anymore.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty good. That adds because there's almost this weird believability of like, why isn't he just like screaming his. Forever, yes,
he does. He makes a point pretty early where he's like, look, I'm. Bigger and stronger than you, I can overpower you, and
that
then line. That never happens.
Well, no, that's not, well, he says,
let's face it, I'm a guy, and sooner or later, I will overpower you.
Yeah, good point.
But then she shoots his dick off, right?
She shoots his dick right off, and
yes, you are a man. I'm gonna shoot.
There is a moment where he's like with the dad alone, and he like grabs the steering wheel to like swerve. That was a moment of desperation.
And the dad's, like, relationships are tough, son. It's okay.
Yeah, we all want to crash a car to avoid being with our wives sometimes.
We all want to kill ourselves constantly, dude, but we got to just keep at it. I get it. I've also tried to crash my car to death.
And that's basically the second act of this movie. Mario Lopez, like, discovering how fucked up this family is. Like, as I said before, there's tension between the mom and the dad. They're not having sex.
There's tension between the mom and everyone.
Well, I think
the dad is constantly like, you got to go to school. You got to be a lawyer.
Stuff,
like, you got to not be gay, basically.
I feel like that stuff comes out a little. It's later, though. I feel like that stuff
at the
comes
end of Act Two.
And, like, the almost the fourth act in a way, weird way. Because I feel like it fades to commercial, it comes back, and then all of a sudden everybody hates each other. It's like this weird, like...
Well, Ryan, you've been with your family at Christmas time. I mean,
I guess so, yeah.
That's kind of how it goes.
But here's the thing. That dinner scene reveal is, in my opinion, the best scene in the movie. When he...
Which reveal? There's so many reveals.
Well, no, the all reveals on top of each other. The brother to the sister to the brother to the mom.
Madeline? Walk us through these reveals. What are the reveals, Madeline?
It's a perfect scene because it does feel like you're locked in and like it explodes at the end, right? So I believe the first reveal is the sister's reveal, which is that she has not been going to law school as she is supposed to be. Now, this is the perfect, beautiful,
well, what's she been doing
sister.
With the dad's money, Madeline?
Well, she's been in the land of fruits and nuts,
California.
This is pretty unhinged. Again, we're supposed to believe that this family's not rich, but what has been going on?
At this point in the world, they're just middle class people. You know what I mean?
In this compound they have in this like winter cabin.
They're renting that place.
What has been going on is this woman is like, not only is she not going to law school as her whole family thought she was, but all the money that the dad has been sending her money for tuition that she has been pocketing and used to buy a Pilates studio in California.
It's the new hot thing, you know?
Yeah. Ever heard of it? He's really bendy.
That is unhinged.
I don't know. That's what you got
to do. What
do
you mean? That's normal. Yeah. That's a normal
thing to
follow
her dreams, Mike.
Because they wouldn't believe her. They wanted her to live the life that they want, you know?
Yeah.
They're in handcuffs, you know?
I'd be upset. Everyone's in handcuffs. I'd be upset.
Yeah, how many semesters has she been embezzling this money?
A lot. Like, you're going to get that money back, and you're going back to school.
Didn't you see her bending like that? She's doing great, you know?
She can do, like, a downward dog and stuff, you know? It's pretty sexy.
I don't think we ever... Do we ever get... This is kind of jumping ahead, but this movie kind of wraps up where we find out where a bunch of people ended up. Do we find out what happened with the sister in her Pilates studio?
She's probably doing fine.
Not really. Man. There's a funny reveal, though, that I remember when the first time I watched this, that was a very fun moment of like the dad. There's the scene in the garage with the brother.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Which he's drinking alone in the garage.
The brother.
And yeah. The first time I remember watching this is probably 10 years ago. There was like this moment of like, I don't know, it just came to me where I was like, he's going to say he's gay, basically.
It's 2007. What's the new hotness?
And then he goes, well, I'm not with what's her name anymore. I'm with somebody else. And then I say, oh, he's going to be gay.
Shut up.
And his name is Ryan.
And his name is Ryan. It went, and we all went, what?
That's how you knew.
And we all looked over at Ryu.
I know. It was the craziest thing. It was like this weird, like, I just nailed it. It was nuts.
Me too. Yeah.
It was funny. I never forget that moment.
Are you guys still together?
Yeah. No, we split up, you know. The mom
I'm
was
sorry
crazy
to hear
family.
That.
No, it's crazy family.
Crazy. Yeah.
He was drinking alone too much.
Yeah.
Every time we see this guy, he is drinking alone, which isn't very often.
He's in the garage with the lights off.
We see him later in the movie. He like calls Trudy, and from where he's calling her, he's drinking with the lights off in like some weird room.
In an empty room in front of a fireplace.
Yeah.
This guy's got some demons.
Well, you know how gay people are. Nothing's been legalized yet, okay? We haven't even gotten to Obama.
Yeah, we're still in Bush Jr., second
term.
We're
still with Bush. We're still with W. It's hard to be a gay guy.
Yeah.
And you drink alone the problem, in the dark.
The problem with the mom and dad, they're not having sex. And when they do, she's thinking of Clint Eastwood.
The mom, there was like that scene earlier where...
She has a breakdown.
It leads to, you know, the excuse of like, oh, we need to go to the store to get olive oil. But she like, they're like eating breakfast or something. And then she goes like, no!
I forgot the extra virgin olive oil. How could that have happened?
This is an alien, just a quick moment. I just will point out, this is a moment where this is written by aliens. They go to the gas station to get extra virgin olive oil.
But, no wonder your kids are fucked up and liars.
It's a market in the woods. You've gone to the cabin, and there's the only place you have is like the gas station market. And they have everything.
That has everything from extra virgin olive oil to like kinky handcuffs.
Yeah, we do have sex things. We do have cooking things. But
they make the line of how far away it is in the beginning. When like,
you really have to
miles.
Focus on the gaping plot
the
holes. You can't go to those ones because if you do that, you're just going to be in an echo chamber all day.
Yeah.
Well, before this terrible family dinner where truths are revealed, Mario Lopez is able to ask the brother for his cell phone. His brother snuck a cell phone in. He calls, not 911, but he calls his soon-to-be fiance. He manages to convince her to come out by saying, I was going to propose to you. And of course, because she's a woman, she's like, oh, I'm going to be Miss Mario Lopez? Oh, my life's going to change.
I didn't care about where you were before you mentioned that, even though you've been missing for like 48 hours.
Well, the cool girl at the diner was like, maybe he broke up with you.
Oh, yeah. And the cool friend. We do get, I was in love with this little snippet of the soon-to-be fiance comes for money. And we see her rich mom, like, lounging by the pool, who's got, like a psychosexual, like, violent back and forth with her maid. And the maid's, like, trying to harm her.
Yeah, this was awesome.
Well, she's like, give me my martini, Maria.
Maria? Maria! Ah!
Oh, no, Mrs. Barber. Not again.
Yeah, she like falls and crashes, and the servant's like, oh no.
Oh no.
I've been trying to kill your mother for years.
Well, at the end of the movie, she's wearing the wedding
she's
dress.
She's wearing one of the wedding dresses and smoking a cigarette, and she's like, oh,
that
up,
was
Mario
her?
Lopez.
Yeah, that's the best.
Yeah, that's the maid. Like, what's going on in this
There's
household?
A whole other movie happening.
Yeah, there is. Yeah.
I want to see that, like, Tom and Jerry, you know, whatever's going on
it's
there.
It's like a Tales from the Crypt episode.
Yeah, pretty much.
But anyway, he gets a phone. He manages to get her to come out to help him. And in the meantime, while he's waiting for her to come with the cops, I'm gonna make your parents like me more than you. But what he doesn't count on is that
they already hate her.
He learns to love Trudy because she's an underdog, and it turns out he was an underdog too.
He basically is it basically the moment where he's like, wait a minute, you do shitty paintings?
Wait, your family's disappointed in you? Wow. Maybe
is that the moment like when he's looking through her like her dumb paintings that
I actually think that the faces, the portraits are kind of look kind of cool. It's the her shitty painting
the water lilies or whatever.
That one sucks. But the one
and that's what's at her art gallery too.
That's the one that gets sold. Which you take the painting right off the wall when you sell in an art gallery. I guess it's out. But
they let you just grab it with your own hands.
I know, you just take it with you. I think the one he's looking at in the beginning that are like these portraits, these colorful. I'm like, those are not bad. They're not like the worst thing ever. There's a certain
haunting quality to that.
I wouldn't quit my job to focus on that.
That was her job was because she was an artist, you know? She was just doing the side work to help that happen.
Yeah, and this is when he begins to see the other side of Trudy, the side that's gone through these trials. Like, her parents are overbearing, you know? And
she does the big monologue about the ice skating.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's like, that was the only time my parents were proud of me.
Oh, the ice skating scene, though, guys. The ice skating scene is maybe, it's up there for one of the most unhinged things.
It's perfect. Because
well, especially there's first, no because... like there's imagine too. Keep in mind there's no music playing in like in real, you know, in what's happening right now. She is skating in silence.
And he's just like, I've never loved you
well,
more.
Hold on, Mike. Let's set the scene a little bit. So this is after the big family dinner, right? Or is it before?
This is before the family dinner ends with the pigs showing up.
So apparently at some point during the day, Mario Lopez went out. This is after he saw her paintings and after he's kind of getting to know her, after she saw him, you know, in a towel. But he somehow finds the time to put up a bunch of lights. It posits that put lights around this entire gazebo on this ice pond or whatever.
Because the gazebo loves her, David.
This would have taken... This would have taken like a day to set up, or at least half a day.
And you know what? He did it right after the monologue. He did it that night. It's beautiful because he's loved her all along. That's what you don't understand, David.
The love was already there.
It was already there.
And so strong. And
then Melissa goes off camera and her double comes in and starts dancing.
She's wearing like a cocktail dress and a very 2007 like shrug over her shoulders. Mm-hmm. She fixed her fucked up perm and he sees her and he's like, wow. And then takes her out to the gazebo and he's like, put these skates on. She's like, I'm wearing a skirt. How am I supposed to? And then she's like, let me just blah, 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 blah. Like,
and she
does
really goes, man. She does like the real full-on figure skater thing.
Well, and the body double, not the correct height, age.
Nope, of course not.
None of it.
Put a blonde wig on her. It's fine.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Well, I wanted to interrupt this program for a second. Uh-oh. I wanted to...
You can talk about Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen again?
No! Oh, close. I mean, I didn't... You know, like I said, I didn't know Madeline was going to be here, so I just wanted to... yeah, I think we should check out what's going on with our girl Christy and say, it's on, like, DCOM.
It's on, like, DCOM! It's on, like...
DCOM!
Uh-oh. What is she? Oh, Christy, what are you doing?
Hostage situation has been abducted by another thing?
We've been abducted by Christy Carlson Romano.
We need to do a little Christy Carlson Romano update just to, you know, for our DCOM listeners. So just if you remember, Madeline, there was a thing going on where Christy was posting on Facebook like AI pictures of herself.
That's right. No. Because this.
Oh, yeah. Jackie, for you, if you haven't heard about this, she was posting AI pictures of like, what if they like, I don't know, made like a Kim Possible movie and I starred in it? Wouldn't that be crazy? Honey. And then it's like an AI image of her like on set dressed as Kim Possible reading a script.
Honey.
So, you know, she was posting those throughout the week. It was like her like sitting in the computer, you know, doing on the internet.
There was one with like her standing next to Shia LaBeouf. Like, what if we got Even Stevens back?
And, but she's looks like she's she has her good old apology letter up on her Facebook.
She's writing an apology letter for the AI.
Should I read this word for word?
No, yeah, she did it.
Please read it. Please read it, Ryan.
I'm so happy. I'm ready.
All right. So last month we started having a little fun experimenting with AI Christy. And the internet definitely had some feelings about it. What started as a lighthearted idea to make people smile unexpectedly turned into a much bigger conversation.
Oh my God. A conversation.
Let's have a conversation. Yeah.
We saw other creators and celebrities playing with AI as a way to create funny, imaginative content for their fans. So we thought, why not try it too? Social media is supposed to be a place where we can share, get creative, and sometimes just enjoy silly, harmless fun. And honestly, some of the image made us laugh out loud. Some people loved
it.
Others didn't feel comfortable with it. A few took in direction we never took it in.
I love the we. The we. Yeah. This is you, Christy.
Well, it's her and her and
her husband. Who her husband also holding hostage.
And her social media team, I'm sure.
Her social media team of her and her husband.
He's wearing red handcuffs. What of it?
I think they take turns holding each other hostage.
Yeah, yeah, it's great. It's enriching.
The last thing we ever wanted was to make anyone feel misled or disconnected from the real me. So we decided to stop posting AI Christy content. This is meanwhile where she has a whole album of
Does she post it with the album?
at the end of the day, this page was always about connection, nostalgia, storytelling, and sharing real moments with all of you. Your feedback matters, and we appreciate every person who took the time to share their thoughts. That said, before we close that chapter on our little AI experiment, we have a few very fun images we created behind the scenes.
Very fun.
I love that.
About all this AI stuff. That said, look at all this AI stuff.
That said, check out all these sweet AI pics.
Oh. Thanks for keeping it real with me. And I just want to say, we always talk about how she thinks that she should have had Anne's career, you know? Mm-hmm.
Anne Hathaway? And
here's her with a Catwoman suit on, Christy Carlson.
Just like God.
Anne Hathaway was, you know?
Quick question. Do you think that apology was written by ChatGPT?
Yes, I think so. Just the way it ends. Yes. They were made with love, curiosity, and a whole lot of humor. Like that.
It sounds like ChatGPT. That doesn't sound like the Christy Carlson voice that I'm used to.
Yeah. Oh. So, I mean, what do you think about that, Madeline? Is that like, you know, how do you think Christy's doing?
I mean, truly, I'm very, very concerned that Christy is going to go to Anne Hathaway's house and make a skin suit out of her and start wearing it. That's my main
concern.
She's
like, oh, you guys didn't want AI. You want the real thing. I'll make this happen.
Would you guys, I'm not too familiar. Would you say Christy Carlson Romano's career trajectory mirrors that of Leonardo DiCaprio's character in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
Not quite, because he... I don't know.
He gets to kill the Mansons.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just talking specifically about the acting career.
No, I don't think CCR was that big. Okay. Like she's kind of. I mean, what was she? She was like a character on Even Stevens, right? Was she any? Am I
she
missing?
Was Kim Possible.
Kim Possible.
She did, but
that's a void.
She did do Belle on Broadway, mm-hmm. first stint.
I mean, she
do. Yeah, but the question is, did she do any ABC Family work?
I'm surprised that she hasn't made the jump to the like Lifetime.
The Hallmark
thing.
Of it. Well,
remember
we did watch
one of her Christmas films.
It was very bad.
It was an experience.
Oh,
that might have been written by ChatGPT.
Well, here's a question for you, Madeline and Ryan of DCOM. It's on like DCOM fame. Mm-hmm. Would Holiday in Handcuffs be enhanced by Christy Carlson Romano?
No.
And if so, what role do you think she would play?
Would she
play the friend?
Well, our big term, like, you know, especially Melissa Joan Hart, she has the Kristen Storms energy, mm-hmm, you know, I think. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if, and I don't think she, I don't think Christy ever had. I think more Shia LaBeouf had Christy Storms energy.
Yeah. Basically. You know what Christy could do to enhance the film? She could maybe sing a song as one of the soundtracks, like maybe on the end or something like that, but it'd have to be a really specific kind of vibe.
Maybe I came to this because she is in, is it The Cutting Edge 2, Christy, mm-hmm, is in? Which,
yes,
this is an ice skating movie.
Straight to video, I assume.
Straight to DVD. I remember we had it at the Hollywood video, Christy's in, so that was maybe what, you know, I was thinking about, basically, with this ice skating scene.
She should be singing over the ice skating scene, or when the family of all adults is like, time to read the Christmas story to
that
each
was,
other.
That was unhinged.
And
what
make sure you
read.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Make sure you write a letter to Santa.
When there's no kids.
What family
like when there's
the night before Christmas together as a tradition, and there are no kids present.
Right.
If you just had one kid,
it would have been totally normal, but they're all adults. You know something I pocketed too in this? They're all sitting around to read it at night, and no one has a drink. Like, I don't even mean alcohol. I mean, like, they're just
where
they're
the cocktails
nothing.
The mom was talking about.
There's no cocktails. There's no cocoa. There's no snacks.
Yeah.
They're just sitting raw dogging night before
only
Christmas.
Grandma has like a cup of like jungle juice with her or something.
So yeah, the grandma might have a drink.
Excuse me, there's pie.
Oh, yeah.
They're not eating the pie during this, I don't think.
Well,
are they?
He has to go get another piece, because what happens is they have dessert, and then they read the story, and then they're like, Trudy, could you go get him another piece of pie, please? Because that's what women do.
Well, and his plan is working. I'm going to make your family love me more than you, because, again, they already don't like her that much. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, get another piece of pie for our special boy. And she's like, are his legs broken or whatever she says?
Yeah, well, they hate her because she's a Democrat.
That's true.
It's not a way of life, Mom.
Being a Democrat
is not a
cause.
She voted for John Kerry.
That's right.
Yeah, it's not a cause.
She went to liberal arts college and she makes paintings and she voted for Al Gore several years ago. And
she's like the most I feel like this is someone who went on to like really be into Joe Biden, her character.
Like too into Biden.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Thanks for this little DCOM tangent right there.
Ryan and Madeline, what do you think is just some predictions? What is next for CCR now that she's closed the chapter in on the AI book
we
and
were
she's
out
moving
of
on?
Mic and then you pulled us back in.
Pull it back in.
I have a real prediction. I think CCR is trying really hard to be one of those women who gets to be on the next like space flight. I think she's not famous enough for it yet, but I think
she's really
pushing hard. Or rich, obviously. But she's pushing really hard for that. That's my guess.
She's like Katy Perry, hi!
She was in that weird, she was not funny at all on that. Too serious on the, like, that military show. Remember that?
Yes.
Military show.
Well, she
like a boot camp reality show where it's like, how long can you last?
Yeah. She was like, I was in Cadet Kelly.
Yeah,
so
that's basically the gist of it.
I never thought I'd say this, but can we get back to Holiday in Handcuffs,
yes,
please?
The best movie of all time.
The scene, I think the whole breakdown has happened, and you do realize, and I think it is, that there's an interesting premise here with when they're all handing each other gifts and stuff. And there's like, this is before all the breakdown happens. And it is a bunch of shitty shit, basically.
Yeah. No one gets anything. This family sucks.
A bunch of shitty. These presents are awful. Like, does anyone remember what some of these were?
Everyone's making a face of like,
and it's sort of, I've been in like situations like that where like, I'm never thinking of, maybe that's just the case when you've been like, you know, getting presents for same people for like 40 years is that like, you just grab a back scrubber, like they'll love this. So yeah. My mom will grab things off of like in the aisle at like Ross, like the on the way to the cash register and like give those as gifts.
In the disappointing presents aisle.
Yeah.
So it's like, I kind of see this happen crap aisle. This point, and I'm like.
But it's like, there's like a level of indifference though. Like at one point the mother opens a gift from the dad, I think, and it's like drill bits or something, right?
Yeah.
It's like wrenches. Like, it's like soccer.
Well, if you notice, it's actually very eloquent. They are all pushing each other's agendas on each other. It's
right, like, right.
Her mom wants her to wear pink, right? He's right. Dad's like, here's some socket wrenches. I don't know what women like, right?
I don't know.
So it's that moment shows us how far apart this family really
it's
is.
It's so true. They give the law school daughter like laws for dummies or something like that.
Which is
like
the number one grandma mug. She hates when they call her grandma.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Number one grandma.
So like, there's something to all that. It's almost I do feel like a lot the of this, gay brother, this stuff like comes in a little late in the movie, I think. But like,
I think he gets like some bit of clothing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
They give him a mug that says "I love women."
Yeah. Just give him beer.
But but you got to think that a movie is a made for TV movie, and it's almost like these are like sections of the movie where you might dip in, and so it's like easy for you to jump in wherever it is that's happening, kind of thing. And because I feel like this part of the movie, I'm like, oh, why is the whole movie kind of like this a little bit? Like, I think, you know, like it seems like that'd be like an earlier thing to happen. But I guess it's just like not, you know, it's a different pacing than a regular movie does.
And then we get to the dinner later. Everything comes to a head. All the revelations are made. And this is when finally the cops bust in the movie.
Guns drawn.
Okay, I have to make a really strong note here. The acting by the father in this scene, when he does the I'm just your little clown, boing, incredible.
Mm-hmm. And also, I hate that we never talk about anything important.
Maybe that's because we all live in your world, Catherine, a world where nobody can say anything honest because it might be upsetting. You are the puppet master, and I am your little clown. Boom!
Stop it! God, you two, what are you guys doing? You think I'm controlling? You are the ass who is forcing your children to become mini versions of yourself. This isn't my world, because if this was my world, I wouldn't have to picture Clint Eastwood just to get through our annual birthday sex.
Oh. I will never get over it. It's perfect. Honestly, he should have won an Oscar for that, in my humble opinion.
Wait, did he not?
A daytime Oscar.
Shockingly, no.
They gave it to, like, fucking someone from No Country for Old Men.
Yeah, 2007, what, like There Will Be Blood or something? Some Daniel Day-Lewis or
fuck
something?
Fuck you.
they get thrown in the jail, and then Mario
the
Lopez,
whole family.
Because he's fallen in love with Melissa Joan Hart, decides not to press charges. And then we skip ahead to Valentine's Day.
It is no longer Christmas.
Yeah. We skip ahead to Valentine's Day, that we find out that she's got an art gallery. Someone wants her. Someone reaches out to her to put one of her pieces in a gallery.
Most unbelievable part of the movie.
Which I assumed watching this, I'm assuming Mario Lopez is involved with this somehow. No,
yeah, he arranged it. No.
He, of course, buys the painting. The brother is together. He's happy. The parents are going to therapy because it's 2007 and therapy was just invented.
And it solved everything. It solved all of their problems.
Solved. Listen now. It's all good.
I assume the parents, started an open relationship and good for them.
They're swinging.
We have an open relationship vibe about them.
There's a moment though where like the daughter says like I'm dating a few guys, but don't worry, I'm not a slut. I'm not having sex with all of them.
Well, what's funny about that, Ryan, is I am almost 100% sure that was an incorrect line read, because the way she reads it is I'm not a slut, which makes it sound like I'm not a slut, but Trudy you are a slut.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Right.
I didn't say I slept with them. I'm not a slut.
I think the way the line was supposed to be read was I'm not a slut. Like, mm-hmm. as in saying, I personally am not a slut. But the way she reads it heavily implies that Trudy is a slut, which is great. Which is a great choice.
I'm not a slut.
You sure it's not intentional?
That? I think that they just kind of went with it and they were like, interesting. You know, honestly, I could use this movie with my acting class and be like, all right, go ahead and read the line, I'm not a slut, and decide where you're going to put that emphasis.
Yeah. You should do that. You should bring that up, Madeline.
Well, because of this, we got to remember, this is Ron Underwood. Like, he's slumming it now. And I don't think he probably cares too much. He's not asking for a second take.
You're talking about the director?
You do it how... Oh, and you know the queen of incorrect line reads is Trudy's friend in the diner. Every line she says, there's a moment where she tells Trudy, I'm sorry. And it's supposed to be like, I'm actually sorry, because Trudy is complaining about how she has to be stuck with her family. And she says it like, I'm sorry. And it very much sounds like she's implying.
I'm sorry.
She's saying it very sarcastically. It's incredible. It is truly like she is one of the aliens who is in the film. Like, maybe they wanted to put one of their own into the film.
Anyway,
and she has a wacky Christmas of her own with weird sex stuff. So
she sure does.
Mario Lopez buys the painting. He's like, I want to be with you, basically. And we get some heartwarming.
And he lights a million candles. Don't forget that. This is another thing where he spent all day preparing this.
Yeah, he loves a good little light show.
This is like the entire production of Game of Thrones is like how many candles this is.
They're not standing at a gazebo. They're just outside the gallery. Right?
No, they're in like some random like warehouse that he is like, I'm going to turn this into your studio or something, because he's in real estate or land development or something.
He just like bought her. Yeah, he bought her a studio and is like, let's get married and I'll be your sugar daddy.
Don't
and-
worry, he'll lose everything next year with the global financial crisis.
Yeah, so. I'm about to lose everything. Rushed.
It's like, actually, I love you. I'm going to buy your painting. Let's be together forever. Okay, bye.
Your family's normal. They're
like,
now.
Oh my God, what's the movie where it does the freeze frame and says what happened to the people and they all died in Vietnam? American Graffiti. Yeah,
they
the American
all died
Graffiti
in
is
Vietnam?
Like Mario Lopez jumped from his 30-story office building after losing everything in the subprime mortgage. Crash.
Well, that's a good question. So that's the movie Holiday in Handcuffs. Let me ask you guys this before we get into recommendations. What do you think happened next?
Yeah, okay.
Well, I guess we found out from Mike.
Yeah, that's definitely what
Mario
happened.
Mario Lopez
next.
Does end his own life.
And Melissa Joan Hart, she, because she never had a plan B and she just made her dumb art no one wants, she ends up spiraling and is like in her loft, like doing drugs, like Requiem for a Dream kind of style ending.
But she's going to be okay because she always had money. And after they got married, she gets his as well. She
inherits the cabin and lives there secluded for the rest of her life.
It's a rental, the cabin.
She buys it and then she buys it. She lives her a Miss Havisham life in there of the last time she really felt anything of, you know, kidnapping a man. And
when she's 70, she tragically burns the house down because she's trying to reheat leftovers with her hair dryer.
I was wondering if someone was going to bring that up.
Well, that's how you know she's wacky.
Well, actually, what happens is they fall in love. They're in love. And then they have a little bit of what each other was missing. You know, she's got that quirkiness. He's got that, you know, stability, you know, and they come together.
he's got that I have a job.
And then you know, it's perfect. And
you want to believe it that happiness can
do they have kids?
No.
Well, since she comes from such a troubled family, she doesn't want to replicate that
exactly.
on her own children, so they remain childless.
That's
but
right.
happily so.
They're dinks. Double income,
they're
no kids.
Dinks.
Actually, more like it's they're oinks. One income, no kids.
They're oinks. She thinks about just the way that her mother was so emotionally unstable, and she really only sees the same thing for herself. So let's avoid it, you know.
Plus,
so let's
get global warming. So, she really cares about.
She really cares about that. Yeah.
We'll start first with the good side.
She's
Madeline,
very with
what
Kamala.
Happened to the parents?
What happened to the parents? You know, they went to therapy. They did become swingers. And honestly, that has just made their relationship even stronger. They trust each other more.
I think they go on. I think they go on swinger cruises now.
Absolutely.
I feel like I see that. Like once a year, they go on a swinger cruise.
And they
sounds like they had the happiest ending out of anybody here.
Yeah. Well, then they start doing ayahuasca, and then that takes it to like a whole new level. And then they stop imposing their will on their children, and they actually kind of like chill out a lot. And they go to Jimmy Buffett concerts.
They love a good Margaritaville. The gay brother breaks up with Ryan because it just wasn't right, but it's amicable, and
Ryan never got over it.
Ryan, unfortunately, never got over it.
Well, Ryan was really bitter that it took him so long to come out about their relationship, which is
they
fair.
They did always fight about that, and it's like, there's a lot going on. And then when gay marriage was legalized, it was like, so are you going to put a ring on it or not?
Pressure,
and it's just like, I never really wanted this. And then it all, you know, kind of explodes.
Well, what about the sister?
I imagine that this the brother, every year in Christmas, he's drinking alone and he has a kind of dramatic confrontation where he says, like, actually, I'm straight. And then next year he's like gay again.
I thought about it.
He's going back and forth every year.
Eventually, Melissa Joan Hart is like, you can be bi. Like, that's fine. He's like, no, I'm not. And there's like, okay, well, I'm gonna leave the garage now. Do you want me to turn the light off? He's like, yeah, turn it off.
Yeah, turn it off. And go ahead, turn on the engine, too.
You can, of course, find these and more alternate history fanfic on sale at our little Holiday in Handcuffs kiosk that'll be going up later this week.
Every copy comes with a free pair of fuzzy cuffs.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's get into recommendations. Mike, let's start with you. Would you recommend Holiday in Handcuffs?
Yeah, you know, there's two things I wanted to say that were kind of random thoughts. I think this is a good time to say them. One, it's wild. Like, this movie is shot on film and just looks like it looks immediately like a real movie. And it's crazy how this looks better than stuff that's like more modern on like Netflix or something. Like,
way more expensive.
Yeah, it just looks real. Like, I don't know. I don't know how to say it other than like it looks like a real
movie.
Yeah.
Real people in real places, and it's a real movie. Yeah. So there's that. I couldn't help but think about watching these, the Gary Marshall films we saw. The Valentine's Days, the New Year's Eve, the Mother's Days. Yeah, and those movies, I feel like it's kind of like a similar, they're coming from similar places maybe, but they're trying to go for these like warm, cozy holiday feelings. And those movies, like, I didn't have fun watching. Like, it was like interminable, like a slog, you know? And I didn't feel like that watching this movie. Like, is this movie good? No. But is it like fun to watch?
Is it great?
Yes. So I would recommend it in a like so bad it's good way, or like, you know, just to like baffle. It's baffling as a movie, and it's short too. It's only 86 minutes, under 90. I would recommend it. I think it's just bizarre. It's bizarre and worth watching.
What about you, Ryan?
Yeah, I mean, I think with the right context, you know, with like someone like Madeline as your guide, you know, your ayahuasca guide, this really does like
with a pirate gun.
It really does put you in a certain place, and it is a descent into madness, I think, this movie. And and it makes you interested, like, to find more hidden gems in these weird, because we're kind of now, like, there was always like the straight to TV like holiday movie, and now it's become like a thing now a little bit. Maybe it's gone too mainstream, even though it was on mainstream.
You're totally right, Rand. It's entered the era of like the doing the so bad it's good movie on purpose, like the Wolf Cop or like the Sharknado. Like, I've seen like the sexy, like Frosty, right? Like the sexy snowman movie. I think that's leaning into that, but you need the pureness of this that's not trying to be
like
weird.
They now do like 60 movies a year, Hallmark, and like or something. Like, I think they have one for every, like, it's like 50 a year they put out or something.
For every season.
Well, and the problem is they're not funny, like intentionally or unintentionally. They're not funny. This is funny sometimes.
It's like the way that, you know, ugly Christmas sweater used to be just like, oh, we went to the thrift store and found like this handmade, like, and now it's just like, buy your ugly Christmas sweater at Target. And it's just like, there's no.
It's my $100 ugly Star Wars
no
sweater
love
or whatever.
In this. There's no, you know, there's no special sauce. Yeah. So, Jackie, there's no sauce at all.
Jackie, would you recommend this?
Absolutely, I would. We were hooting and hollering. This was a great time. As I said, this was written by aliens, and I love their work. That's insane.
I'm gonna parrot what you guys said. This is something is not a good movie, but you watch it under specific circumstances, and I think you will have a ball with it.
You want to hear if I'm gonna recommend it?
We're all looking at you nervously.
You can put the gun down. It's okay. We'll still listen.
You can put the gun down now. You've had it on.
Well,
it up.
I'm actually the kind of like the Jesus of Holiday in Handcuffs, and you are all my disciples. And so what I do is I spread the gospel of Holiday in Handcuffs to anyone who needs it. You know, this time of year can be really hard for people. And if you just put on Holiday in Handcuffs, you're going to feel better.
Madeline, how many times have you seen this movie?
There aren't enough numbers.
They haven't invented a number yet that can describe. Well,
and the problem is my family loves this movie too, and now it's getting to the point where we kind of maybe watch it too much. Like Lizette, who had a special cameo at some point, is like, can we watch Holiday in Handcuffs like over and over? Eric's wanting to watch it in October, and I'm like, hello, it is still spooky season.
We need guardrails.
You just hit something I was going to ask you. So this, I was going to say that maybe this is a dumb question, Madeline, but are there ever times when you're like, you know what, I don't feel like watching it right now?
There have been, and only because I've seen it so many times. You know, you need to kind of forget a little bit to let a little bit of the magic come back. I will say I'll give you that warning, but only if you've seen it like over 150 times like I have.
I'm mostly putting on the Chad letterbox, and this is the fourth time I've logged it.
Wow.
This is three for me, I think.
So and I've probably seen
look
it more
than that. I look forward to many more holidays
I've
and
probably
handcuffs
at least seen
to
it
come.
Six times, and this is the fourth time I've logged it. So.
Well, it gets better every time.
This episode may have been recorded under duress, but I gotta say, I think you kind of brought holiday cheer to everybody here, Madeline.
You're welcome.
So you did it.
You're welcome.
Yeah, whether we liked it or not.
Ho, 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 hot dog.
Well, that's the magic of the movie, is you do have to be handcuffed in order to see it. But then once you are, you realize you enjoy the handcuffs.
Yes.
Exactly. And again, come on down to Sector 2 Paco's Video. Again, you rent the movie. We got plenty of copies. We'll give you a complimentary pair of handcuffs to go with it. Watch it with your family. Watch it handcuffed. Watch it under duress. It's all good.
And then read our many fan fictions about it.
Yeah.
Well, there's many. I'm working on Holiday in Handcuffs 2 currently. Stay tuned for that.
This time we kidnap a child.
I'm just going to throw this out there. Hanukkah and Handcuffs.
Could be. Handcuffs.
Eight crazy nights.
Oh, I love that, actually. Hey, can I say something? I feel like Gary Marshall's gotten a really bad rap on this show, and that's because you guys have watched the shittiest Gary Marshall movies that exist. I'm going to make a proposition, because I think Gary can redeem himself. I think you all need to watch a little film, and you can do it whenever you want. It's called Runaway Bride. Trust me on this one.
Yeah.
Gary Marshall has let me down pretty hard, I gotta say.
I don't blame you.
He made a good number of enjoyable films before making all of those buckets of slop.
He passed up on our girl Christy for old Aunt Anne for my.
We did. We did Pretty Woman, right? That was a good movie.
Yeah.
Well, and if you guys do watch Gary Marshall, I do a Gary Marshall impression. So.
All right. Madeline, why don't you close us out with a Gary Marshall impression, wishing everyone out there a happy holidays and a Merry Christmas and whatever.
Well, mostly the Gary Marshall impression is just this. It's me, Gary Marshall. Happy holidays. It's kind of Kennedy. It's kind of Gary Marshall. But that's it. Happy holidays. Days.
Shout of heads.
Chowder. It's beautiful.
Extra virgin olive oil. What does that mean? Can you really be an extra virgin?